In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, and in verse 1. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, to put it out on the table, to look at it, to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works, the person, righteous, wise, and all that they do, are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. And so here, keeping in mind as we looked at that, understanding that the righteous and the wise and all that they do are in the hands of God, and that all that is before them, all, the whole and all of its parts that lie ahead in the future, they know not, how is it going to go? Are we going to find love or hate? And the love or hate is looking at it from God's point of view, from God. Are we going to find the love of God or the hatred of God as we proceed forward? Now, having said that, love and hate, and looking over in chapter 9, verse 6, you're going to find the two words again, chapter 9, verse 6. And their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. People live, and they do all that they do, and then they die. And when they die, they don't do it anymore, at least on earth. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun on earth. They're all finished on earth. So here is God moving forward through time, and we don't know whether we're going to, we have no idea of the future. We're on the ship going down the corridor of time in the ocean, and we can see we're running, we see we're moving, but we can't see that far ahead to see where it's going and how it's going to go. We don't know. And what we're doing on the little ship, as it were, we're able to love and we're able to hate and do all these things, which are going to perish, which are all going to die, because when we die, we don't do these things on earth anymore. Chapter 3, just picking up our thought again. And the expression in verse 8, same two words. There is a time for everything, a time and a season, a purpose. Verse 1. Verse 8, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So here is the human being. They're going down the corridor of time. Going down the corridor of time, they can't see, only so far ahead as they're traveling. And they know not whether they're going to find the love of God or the hatred of God, the favor or disfavor, they don't know. As long as they're on the ship traveling, as it were, they're able to be loving and hating, war and peace on earth, they can do it. But soon they're going to die, and that reminds me, Mrs. Mudge passed on this morning. That was a good reminder for me. And thus, in the process of that, going down the corridor of time, love and hate, we can do all those things, but knowing we're going to die and we won't do them anymore on planet Earth. Now, having said that, love and hate, keep in mind, if you would, when we're looking, we're going to take just a moment to look at chapter 9, verse 1, the end of the verse. We know not love or hatred. Now remember, we shared last time that that isn't a question of my times are in thy hand. It isn't a question God knows everything and God provides and God is going to take care. You don't have to worry about anything. It isn't talking about that. All of that is true. It's looking at just humans moving down the road. Are they going to find the favor or disfavor of God, love or hate? Now, another thing that will help us right off the bat is to understand that when love, the word hate means to oppose, to dislike, to reject. Hate, hate. The opposite of love. And love is a very wide, this Hebrew word, very widely used. It's the opposite. The opposite of love is hate. When love is hated, when love is rejected, then the love of God hates. He hates. He hates rejecting the love of God. Love hates to be rejected. Is that all right? And God is what? As to his person, he is love. Love hates to be rejected. So when God says, am I going to find the love of God or hate? Am I going to find the judgment of God, which is the love of God in action? Or am I going to find the justification of God, which is the love of God in action? Am I going to be justified or judged by God, going down the corridor of time? And remember now, the wrath of God is the only thing that God, the love of God can do, is exercise his wrath. The wrath of God is love exercised to the negative. And remember, everything is opposite. Love, hate, right, wrong, positive, negative, truth, error, everything is opposite. Positive can't exist unless there's a what? A negative. The word wouldn't make sense. There's love or hate. What am I going to find? Now, having said that, let's take a little exercise to get a handle on that. Second Chronicles, if you would. Second Chronicles chapter 19. And in Second Chronicles chapter 19. And I'll start in verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, prophet, went out to meet him, and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldst thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Are you loving those with whom God hates? Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, what are you doing loving that which God hates? What are you doing that for? Now, chapter 18, verse 1, what was it that Jehoshaphat was doing? 18 and 1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and joined affinity with whom? With Ahab. Wrong guy. Ahab isn't for God. Ahab is against God, you see. Jehoshaphat, what are you doing loving that which God hates now? Having said that, would you go over with me, please? Oh, in your Bible, Psalm 97. Psalm 97. Remember, love, hate. God, when love is rejected opposed, which is hate, then love responds and goes against that which is opposing it. Thus Psalm 97 and in verse 10. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. So you that love the Lord have to hate evil. Jehoshaphat, what are you doing having affinity. What are you doing lining up with Ahab, who's bad against God? What are you doing that? Then you can't love God and love the enemy. You can't do both. Either, you know, James 4, if you love the world, the love of the Father you cannot know. You can't have both. Cannot do it. Say, why couldn't we share it? You can't share it. You can't split it. Either you love God with half of your heart and the other half can go elsewhere. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All of your heart. What do you know? How much does God love you? Half a heart? Quarter of a heart? Two-thirds of a heart? How much? You're wondering. God loves you with his whole heart. He loves Israel. He'll say it. I love him with my whole heart. That's why I do what I do, my whole heart. God puts his whole self in, that he expects the whole of it. He doesn't expect part. You can't split it up. Thus, dear friends, Psalm 109. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. Psalm 109. Here is the dilemma that David has with Absalom, his son, in rebellion. 109, picking up, if I can, in verse 1. Hold not thy peace, O God, of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They can compass me about also with the words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. So here's David facing his son in rebellion, Absalom, and going past this, the Lord Jesus looking to Judas, who betrays him. Thus you have the word hatred in verse 3. In verse 4, you have the word love that we're looking at. In verse 5, they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred, there's your words, hatred for my love. That's what they've done. And that's what David said, boy, I did everything, and this is how it's coming back. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over to Psalm 139. And in Psalm 139, picking up, please, in this great Psalm of David, verse 21. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Remember, that's what we said. The whole point is, are we going to find God's love or God's hatred as people go down the road? Are they going to find favor, God's favor or disfavor? Are they going to oppose God or are they going to be for God looking to him? And what are we going to find? They don't know. They don't have the pieces and they don't have the whole picture. They don't have it. They don't know. Thus, Psalm 139, Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. How much, David? I hate them, verse 22, I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies, and the perfect hatred has to be like God hates. God, how do you hate? You see, and God hates, then I want to hate like you do, God. I want to love, and all that opposes who you are, God is love, then I want to hate it. I want to hate it. I'm against it. Thus, with that little bit in mind, go with me, please, over to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. In Proverbs chapter 6, picking up in thought. going, if I may, to start in 6, yea, 7. Verse 16. These six things doth the Lord what? He hates them. See, he doesn't love them. He hates them. Remember now, hate is the result of rejection of love. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. I hate, it's an abomination. All of that, I hate it. It causes vomit to me. That tells you to be careful with those things, wouldn't it? At least if you're trying to get along with God. Now, having said that, these things does God hate? God hates them. Over, if you would, Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Now remember, to reject the love of God, to reject God, to reject the wisdom of God. Thus you have in verse 36, chapter 8 of Proverbs. He that sinneth against me, wisdom, the wisdom of God, the wisdom personified, wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. So hate, love, down the road, depending on how we're going, what are we going to find? We know from the believing end, but apart from that, what is the world going to find? How are they going to find it? They have to look to God. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. And picking up, just it, letting it sink in a little bit here, a little bit there. Chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. So hatred does a number. God hates that strife. God hates that. Now, would you go with me, verse 18. He that hideth hatred conceals it with lying lips. That means you can look good, say good, smile good, but in your heart, you aren't there at all. Hypocrite. A mask. You aren't even there. It's a false image. Verse 18. He that concealeth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. So, we looking to God, and we're looking at hatred is there. There's a time to love, a time to hate from human standpoint. Going down the corridor of time, you're going to meet. What are we going to meet? The hatred of God or the love of God? Depends on where we're coming from. At least we can have that hope, that confidence, have some comfortableness as we proceed. Chapter 50. Go with me to chapter 26. Chapter 26. And picking up, if I may, in chapter 26, in verse 25. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. So, We want to go and not be a hypocrite. We want to have, if you hate, just say, I hate you. How's that? You know? I hate you. Then get it over with. You love or hate me? What is it? See? Say it, and then you're done with it. At least it's open. Now, chapter 50. Chapter 50. So here we are, the human dilemma of going down the corridor of time, going through the loving and the hating, not unknown about the future. chapter 15, picking up, please, in verse 17. Better is a dinner of herbs, where love is, than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. And the word stalled means, think of a cow, ox, sitting in the stall, ready to be slaughtered. The fatted calf, ready. Now, it better is to beat lentils, I guess, cream of wheat, than a big steak. Now, better a big steak, better a bowl of cream of wheat, where love is, than a big feast where the fatted calf is, where the hatred is. You don't want to do that. You want to avoid that. Stay away from that. God help us. Now, keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to the book of Isaiah. Let's swing it around. So you're seeing just hatred, love. Hatred's there, no question. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 14. The Lord hates. What are we going to find down the road? The Lord hates. Here is Israel before the Assyrian captivity. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 14. Your new moons and your appointed feast, all your activity, all your religious activity, my soul, what? I hate it. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. All of that activity, we're trying to honor you and sing and pray and do. I hate it, he said. That's sobering, isn't it? I don't want to do something, I sing and it ends up, you hate it? I don't want to do that, God. I'd rather not sing at all. Not at all. If that's the case, I don't want to do that. So, in the light of that, I hate it. Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. So you can tie it together. Amos 5, and go to verse 21. Amos 5 and 21. All you're doing is getting a handle on the movement of love and hate, humanly, from God's point of view, so that you can help yourself and others as much as reasonable. Amos chapter 5 and in verse 21. I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Remember, the incense goes up, and the incense is pleasing to God, the fragrance of the sacrifice burned, etc. Now, so I hate. I despise your feast days. I don't want them. Verse 5 and 15. Hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Maybe you'll find love if you do it right, and not hate. If you're looking, do it right. And again, I'll read the top. Hate the evil and love the good. Maybe if you do it right, hate evil, love good. At least you're thinking right. At least you're understanding a little bit. Practice it. Thus, Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah and chapter 12. Doing it again just to see it through history. All right, Jeremiah chapter 12, picking up, if I may, in verse 8. Verse 7 even, I have forsaken mine house, I have left mine heritage, I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. That which I love, I have given to my enemies to do with as they will. Verse 8, mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me, therefore have I hated it. I hate it. You see, it opposes me. Anything that opposes who I am, I hate. That's pretty clear. You can't oppose what God's for, because God what? Hates it. That helps us. Helps us. Thus, Jeremiah chapter 44. Jeremiah chapter 44. Jeremiah 44, verse 4. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. Don't get so tied up in idolatry. Don't get so tied up in trying to avoid Babylon. Babylon is your safety. And remember, they're going to run to Egypt, run to Egypt, run to Egypt to get out. Well, here you weren't far away. Chapter Jeremiah 46. God is going to send Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, the king that Nebuchadnezzar appointed betrayed Nebuchadnezzar. He went against Nebuchadnezzar. And so Nebuchadnezzar, the third time coming into Jerusalem, this time he levels the city, burns the city, all done. He's all finished, no more. Thus, what did they want to do? They wanted to go to Egypt. They wanted to get Egypt involved. Thus, in verse 13, the word of the Lord spake to Jeremiah the prophet, how Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, should come and smite the land of Egypt. Declare ye in Egypt, and publish in Migdol, and publish in Noph and Tephanes, say ye, stand fast and prepare thee, for the sword shall devour round about thee. Why are thy valiant men swept away? They stood not, because the Lord did drive them. He made many to fall, yea, one fell upon another. And they shall rise and shall go again to our own people and to the land of our nativity, and from oppression and sword. For they did cry there, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. He hath passed the time appointed. As I live, saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts, surely as Tabor is among the mountains and as Carmel by the sea, ye shall come. And God is going to punish Israel, as you kept reading, God is going to punish Israel for trying to run to Egypt. And God told them specifically, don't run, stay. Nebuchadnezzar's coming. The best thing to do is sit tight. Don't go to Egypt. Don't run to Egypt. If you want to be safe, stay in Jerusalem. And they were saying, we need to run. No, stay put. Stay put. The tornado's coming. Stay put. God knows about the storm. God knows about Babylon. God knows. Don't go to Egypt. You'll be sorry. Now, back over, if you would, to 44. And in chapter 44, verse 4. Howbeit, I send unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to hear, to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. They just kept going the wrong way. God hated their direction. So, using the illustration, going forward into the future, we don't know whether we're going to find God's love or God's hate. And God said, listen, if you keep going the way you're going, I told you to hate the evil and love God, love the good. and you aren't doing it. You're going to find what you don't want to find. You aren't going to find the love of God. You're going to find the hatred of God. He's going to give you up to the hand of your enemies. That's what he's going to do. Thus, with that little bit, Micah chapter 3. Micah chapter 3. Picking up, if I can, in verse 2. I'll even have to read verse 1 for a little bit of the context. And I hear, and as I said, hear I pray you, O heads of Jacob, ye princes of the house of Israel. Is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones? Do you not understand? Judgment awaits you. What's ahead? Is it love or hate? What are we going to find? God said, don't you know? Those who hate the good and love the evil are not going to find it pleasant. They hate the good and love the evil. Wrong direction, wrong thinking, wrong way. Don't do it. Don't do it. Now, having said that, over, if you would, to Malachi. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi 1. God's awesome, wonderful, working. Remember now, you know this from the past. God is going to say something that he never says all the way to the end of the Old Testament, of when the twins, Esau and Jacob, were born. And thus, Esau and then Jacob. Thus you know, Malachi chapter 1 and in verse 2. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yea, you're saying, wherein hath thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Saith the Lord, yea, I love Jacob, and I hated Esau. I want you to know, Esau may have been the first one out, but he had the wrong attitude. Wrong attitude about his birth, wrong attitude about my blessing, the wrong attitude about life. He would be like Cain. Cain brought the fruit of the field instead of Abel brought the slaughtered lamb. It cost somebody something to get to God. And Abel, Cain, you're going to come with the fruit of the ground that you think is lovely. You produced it, as it were. You gathered it. You eat it. And you're going to share it with me, said God. Wrong, wrong, wrong. I hate it. And of course, Cain didn't come out well. And Esau doesn't come out well at all. Would you go over with me, please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. So as we get down the corridor of time, we want to stay on track, want to stay in the place where we're looking for God's bliss, blessing, benefit. Romans chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity, hostility, hatred. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So the old nature hates. That's what it does. So if we're going to use the old nature, its root, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. The heart's going to produce a love on the outside, but in the inside, it isn't true love. It isn't love. It isn't love. It's deceitful. It's tricky. It's like we read in Proverbs. It comes across with a smile, but there's hate down inside. There's dislike down inside. Wow. So here, the heart is like that. So we've got to look to the heart of God. Got to look to the heart of God if we're going to get along with God. And we can only do that in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. So, we're looking just to get a handle, a little sense of hatred. James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity, hostility, hatred with God? Whosoever therefore is a friend of the world is the enemy, which is enmity, enemy, hostility, hatred. Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So we want to stay in the right way, in the right course, in the right way, for the right reasons. We want to do so, and God help us to do so. Now, so that's hatred. You know, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes 9:1. Are we going to find, you don't know whether you're going to find the love of God or the hatred of God as you people journey down the road? How is it going to be? That's why we try to eliminate God. If we could eliminate God, we don't have to think about somebody who we have to answer to someone we're accountable to. If we can eliminate God from our thinking, then we can proceed in the light of everyone else's procedure, and we'll try to do, and everything is going to come out all right. Or is it? Everything's going to work, or is it? See, we hope. Now, having said that, over if you would to, Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 again. And we'll swing it around and go on the other side, the opposite of everything. Hate, love, good, bad, right, wrong, positive, negative. Proverbs chapter 8. And here's the love side. Proverbs 8, picking up in verse 17, in the light of wisdom. Wisdom is personified, God's wisdom, as it made alive, as it were. Chapter 8, verse 17. I love them that, what? Love me. See? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and you'll find that he loves you as you love him. And those that seek me early shall find me. Verse 21. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. I will do it. And again in verse 36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. They're loving the wrong thing. They ought to love life, not death. And they're loving the wrong thing. Isaiah 63, looking at Israel as an example. The world doesn't care about God, but Israel certainly was an exercise, an example. And we just read the love of God. The love of God is either going to exercise justification, or the love of God is going to exercise judgment. One or the other. Judgment, justification, the love of God. Now, Isaiah 63. In Isaiah chapter 63, if I may, picking up in verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. God understood and sympathized, empathized in everything. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence, the pre-incarnate Christ, saved them. In his love, in the pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of his presence, in his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He bare them and carried them all the days of old. God did that in his wonderful love. Are we going to find love? Well, Israel was to be an example to all the world to understand that God loved them, and they could look to God and know the love of God. But you know, Israel didn't do too good. Thus, Israel was to know that God loved them without any question. Isaiah 61. And in verse 8, I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. So looking, God loves Israel. God's doing for Israel. So that's a great example for us. We're looking at it. And as we do, the world, the nations are to look, how is God dealing with Israel? You want to know what about the future of Syria, Egypt, China, Africa, India? Look at Israel. Look at Israel. Learn from them about God, whether we're going to find love or going to find the hatred of God. In chapter 61, again in verse 8, "For I, the Lord, love judgment, I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I love judgment, I hate that which takes away that which belongs to me. All the honor and all the glory is mine. It doesn't belong to anyone else." Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. And again, Israel, the great example, moving through time. What is the future of Israel? We're going to find the love of God or the hatred of God? Jeremiah 31, verse 3. "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore thy loving, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I love thee with an everlasting love." That's what I do. I want you to know my love. If you're going to go and come, hate evil, love the good. Love the God of the good. If you don't do that, you're going to find the wrong thing. You can fix things, if you wish, about your relationship to me as you move through time, and God will do that wonderful work that he does in his most marvelous way. Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3. Picking up again, if I can, in verse 17, Israel's future. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty." He's a warrior, mighty. "He will save," give you the victory. "He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest," silent, deeply felt something, like think of going a mile down in the ocean, 2 miles down in the ocean, 3 miles down in the ocean, where it's very quiet. Very quiet. Deep. Still. Wow. Verse 17, "He will rest in the depth of his love. He will joy over thee with singing." God's wonderful, wonderful delight in loving, loving. What is Israel going to find? Israel has a wonderful future because God has a wonderful plan for their life in a most wonderful way. Now, looking at it personally, all kinds of ways. I'm just trying to give you quick to get a sense of moving down the corridor. And there's how is God going to deal with us? Favor, disfavor. How is it going to go? Well, the believing heart has a great advantage. The world, the unbelieving heart that would pay attention to Israel, etc., would learn something wonderful about God and his wonderful saving work. Psalm 119. Taking one psalm. Psalm 119. And let us pick up, please, just right along, just to get the flavor of it. How is a believing heart going to respond to God? Are you going to oppose God? Is it God's love? And you know what God's love is, don't you? God wants the very highest and best for himself. God's love. God is love. He must glorify himself because there's no other, just himself. And he wanted to honor himself. So here's the very highest and best, which is God himself. The love of God wants the highest and best. The love of God wants the highest and best for all of his creation. For all of his creation is supposed to glorify him and honor him. He wants the highest and best for his creation. The love, we love him because he first loved us. God wants the highest and best for human beings that he made in his image and likeness. God wants the highest and best. And the highest and best for a human being is God. That's love, in a nutshell. In a nutshell. The love of God is to enjoy who he is. Now, having said that, thus the response of a believing heart, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. 127. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. I love your word. 132. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. God, deal with me like you've done with the others in the past. 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, make me alive, O Lord, according to thy righteousness. I love thy word. 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. 167. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly, exceedingly so. God, it's a wonderful thing. You aren't far away. 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. God, Israel's the example. You love Israel. I dare not speak against Israel. God, you love it. If I speak against Israel, I speak against you. I'm not going to do it, God. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. For Allah or no one, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it at all. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, here's the whole and all of its parts. All the things we don't know of God's love and God's hate, we don't know them. We're going to find as we proceed, are we going to find God's love or God's hate? We're going to find hate is that dislike, that which opposes the love of God, which rejects the love of God. And it leaves the love of God with hate. You're letting God, the God of love, you're leaving him with hate. For that which opposes God's love. Hate opposes God's love. You can't oppose God. You can't do that. You've got to go for what God is for and why he's for it. And I trust that helped a little bit, I hope. Thank you.